Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to join you again. We have been doing our player review series. We're going to take a break and extend that into next week because there obviously was some breaking news, but absolutely wonderful news for the Grizzlies. So wonderful, in fact, my former co-host, former Locked On Grizzlies host, we'll call him the Locked On Grizzlies Emeritus, I guess you could say, Mark King has become available to join me. Mark, how are you doing today, bud?
I'm good, man. I appreciate you having me back on.
Hey, you are always welcome. I know that as we had talked about before, you are very busy with things going on right now and in your life. But hey, when we have monumental moments like this, it's definitely worth the opportunity to get to catch up with you. And you know, we've got plenty to talk about. Of course, with Ja Morant winning the 2019-2020 Rookie of the Year Award. So, Mark, we'll get right into it. So, I can say within the first week, as when Ja blocked Kyrie, he won Rookie of the Year. That, with Zion being out, I think is really what clued us into where Ja was going to be Rookie of the Year. Did you get that feeling as well, or was there another where you kind of, it really stood out to you that, you know, this guy's not only going to win it, he's going to run away with it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there was one moment in particular for me. I mean, I think there was I think there's just a culmination of things happening. And it was pretty quick, though. You know, you look at Ja Morant, and I think a lot of people forget that he had a really bad first week in the league. It wasn't great. It was very rookie-ish. And then after that, it was like he kind of figured it out. I mean, and then he understood a little bit more about the game. And then, you know, it took him a little longer to really start wanting to take over in terms of, I think it was more trepidation in terms of, I don't want to step on teammates' foot. You know, you get that kind of feeling. But after that kind of went away in the first part of the year, you could have him do literally anything he wanted on the court at times in the fourth quarter and the early parts of that year. And that was so much fun to watch. I mean, I think you look at that and everybody else around him, Zion not being out. I mean, Kendrick Nunn had a pretty good year, although I'd argue that it wasn't close for him either. You know, you look at all the things happening around him, and Ja was just, I mean, just good. I mean, he naturally got what it was, you know, what it took to be good in this league. I mean, he understood it, and he's also good enough to actually do the things that he understood how to do. And so, you know, he almost took a team to the playoffs that had no business being in the playoffs at all. I mean, if it's not for Ja Morant, they don't win. I think they win at least 10, maybe 11 less games than they do. I mean, there are several games you can point to Ja Morant and go, okay, he is the sole reason they won those games. You know, we joked about fourth quarter Ja all year long, and people love fourth quarter Ja. But fourth quarter Ja Morant is the reason that the Grizzlies won a lot of games. And, you know, you look at that alone, you go, okay, well, I mean, it's a pretty easy decision. Just looking at that. So I don't know if there was one moment for me, but it was, you could see early on that he was clearly ready for the NBA much sooner than a lot of rookies get it. Him and Brandon Clark both kind of understood it and played really well early on, you know, much quicker than most guys do. And so you look at that and go, okay, yeah, that's the Rookie of the Year.
And I agree with you completely. You know, in my opinion, you know, yes, the talent, the hard work, all that certainly, you know, adds to the equation, you know, that makes Ja Morant so special. But it also is the mentality. And there seems to be a mentality, an understanding of his game beyond his years. When you look at Ja Morant, I feel a big reason why he is so special at such a young age is the, not necessarily the basketball IQ, but the knowledge that he has of his strengths and how to feature them whenever he wants, especially in the fourth quarter. Does that stand out to you about Ja, Mark? Does it amaze you how well he knows his game at such a young age?
Oh yeah, he's an incredibly smart player. I think that, you know, the flashy passing and everything he does on the court, you know, that sometimes gets lost in not just Ja, but a lot of players. I mean, and to understand how smart he is and how to be able to use those skills in a way that benefits him the most. And Ja demonstrated that to a perfect T this year. I mean, he, again, incredibly smart player to understand where guys are, where they're supposed to be at any given time on the court. I mean, you know, his vision is something that was always going to be skills when you're in college that you go, okay, yeah, that's going to translate no matter what. Really, truly, like, those things are the same at any level, really. But there are other things that just don't translate that easily. But court vision and then passing and being able to see the floor and understand the game, how it's played and how it flows, that all those things translate. And those are all the things that Ja is really exceptional at. You can go back on the Locked On Grizzlies feed, the show I did literally after they got not even before they picked him, but after they got the second pick overall. And I was screaming about how Ja Morant was going to be back then. I mean, just because those are the skills that you can translate easily to this level and not have to worry about, possibly being, not good at them. Like, it's not like the shooting is something that sometimes doesn't always translate because guys are bigger, guys are faster. You can't get your shots off well enough. Like, it's not like that. And so, yeah, I was not surprised at how well he was able to, utilize those skill sets in a way that benefits the most. He's just an incredibly smart player.
And with all the highlights and the flashes and things such as that, it is amazing to see. His game offers a lot of, very attractive features around it. Like I say, the highlights, the dunks and the missed dunks. But I agree with you completely. It's the smarts as well. And the other thing about it is that it's the willingness to adjust his game, with whatever he's presented, not just passing. But did you see his decision-making improve, Mark, as the season went along? I feel that it did, especially in the bubble when he was struggling shooting. Did you see his decision-making improve as the season went along?
Yeah, I think that's something that's going to naturally progress with any rookie. Sure. I mean, when you get in the league, the league is so much faster than college. Everybody's bigger. Everybody's faster. Everybody's stronger. It is just what it is. It is not the college level. The NBA game is so different than the college level. And I say that all the time. And I think people will understand that. But decision-making is just something that's going to come because people learn how to play you differently. They understand your weaknesses as the year progresses and as you become better and you are able to exploit certain things, that shows up on the scouting report for other teams and they go, okay, this guy is really good at X, Y, and Z, so let's take away X, Y, and Z and see what happens. And so you saw that a lot happen with bigger guys. People learned pretty early on that we need to put a bigger guard to defend Ja Morant to be able to physically overwhelm him sometimes. And that worked. That worked early on because Ja didn't understand what to do because he had not faced that yet. He had been taking on smaller guards that he was able to manipulate and move around. And when you put a bigger guard on this, bigger guard to defend him that's longer, that can physically overwhelm him, he struggled with that. But you fast forward to the end of the year, and they put bigger physical guards on Ja Morant, and he's able to understand that and understand it and move around it and be better at having that guy on him. We saw that in the bubble, him have bigger guards on him, but it didn't really affect him in the sense that it made him ineffective. They just didn't play well. Like, Ja Morant was the best thing about the Grizzlies in the bubble, and he just didn't have enough help around him to do anything with it. And so, people put bigger guards on him in the bubble. So from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, you were able to see him, okay, they're going to put bigger guards on him. The Grizzlies also did a better job of just being able to run stuff better for him as well. Like, that also falls back to the Grizzlies coaching staff is this. They're going to put bigger guys on Ja. What do we got to do to get Ja open or the ball or all those types of things? They're all, they all work together. But, yeah, Ja did a much better job from beginning to end in terms of decision-making. And that's only going to get better. The more times you face James Harden, the more five times you face Kyrie Irving, you learn those guys' tendencies. You learn not only how to defend them, if you're going to defend them, but more importantly, learn how to get around the offense or you learn how to exploit their weaknesses. And he'll learn that as well. That will continue to get better.
Could not agree more. We're going to take our first break, come right back with Mark, and we'll talk about just how special and how meaningful this is for Ja and the Grizzlies franchise. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo. Or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about. With a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all with the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/XXX and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. Welcome back to the show. I'm here with former host Mark King. Mark will not be the last person that we talk to about this. We've got some opportunities with some guests lined up next week, obviously going to enjoy this as much as possible, because it's such a rare feat, you know, within the history of the Grizzlies franchise. I mean, when you look at it, Mark, okay, we've had some players who have, you know, made first teams or made all NBA teams. You know, Marc Gasol, he did win Defensive Player of the Year, but that's one of three major awards that a Grizzlies player has won in the history of the franchise. Pau Gasol won Rookie of the Year the first year we were in Memphis. Marc, of course, Defensive Player of the Year, and now Ja Rookie of the Year again. Pau Gasol winning it, he becomes the best talent this franchise has had, in my opinion. I think that statistics show that. But with Ja winning this award, do you feel it puts him in elite company award-wise, but do you feel it's a stretch to say this is validation that he already is, you know, one of the top five, maybe top two best overall talents to play for the franchise?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they only give away one of those things every year, one player. And the Grizzlies have only had a few to win it. And so it just solidifies how good he is. We've been talking about how good Ja Morant is all year. It just says, you know what? Yeah, we think so too. And that's really what it is. But I think you're right. I mean, talent-wise, I think I've said it on this show this year, and I do probably have too. But Ja Morant is one of the best most talented players they have ever had. Just in terms of raw talent, in terms of how good he is. Now, you know, we've seen a lot of talented players do nothing with said talent. And so that's kind of where the next step comes in. And I think he's shown that he can do a lot with his talent this year already, you know, but can he continue to elevate it? Can he continue to elevate it to, you know, all NBA level, all-star level, those type of things? I think he will. But it cements the fact that he is one of the most talented players they've ever had.
And the other thing about it is that a big thing about Ja Morant is, you know, we talked with Kevin Pelton, ESPN writer. We were talking about, you know, with Trae Young, he was saying, you know, are you a floor raiser or are you a ceiling raiser? And the difference is that, yeah, if you're a floor raiser, you can work with guys and, you know, due to the quantity of getting them involved, you can make their statistics better. But a ceiling raiser is that when they play with you, they play at their best or better than expected. Do you get that feeling with Ja Morant? Do you, I know naturally you would, but do you see Ja Morant becoming not only a guy who can close himself, but truly one of the best players in the NBA when it comes to improving the overall ceilings of the teams that he plays with? Just him being on the court makes the other guys around him significantly better.
Yeah, I don't know if it makes them significantly better. You know, I get what Kevin Pelton is saying. I don't know if I always agree with that in terms of making people better. Like, the difference is, like, take LeBron James, for example. It's the same idea. Like, does LeBron make people better around him? Well, no, not really, because the people around him are sometimes just bad, and that's not going to be any level of how good you are to make that person good again. The difference is in the way it is viewed is because LeBron James always finds you when you're wide open. like, but you still have to knock down a shot. But most of those shots are super easy. You know, you're finding him, like, going to the rim or super easy baskets, things like that. Like, he is an otherworldly passer and sees the game at a different level. Like, he doesn't make people better because they're naturally not good. But he puts them in spots to achieve better. And that's the difference. Like, he's not going to make people be better talented. That's just not how it works. But, like, John Morant's the same thing. Like, he's such an otherworldly talent that sometimes he just finds guys wide open at the rim. And a lot of times, sometimes they miss those said wide open shots. We've seen a lot of it, but most of the times they make those shots. So, like, you know, that's the difference is John Morant's going to find those people that are wide open at the rim or, you know, really open at, you know, corner three, which is what they're the best at. So, yeah, I mean, I think John Morant's got that ability, as we talked about before, his court vision and his passing. You know, like that's something we can definitely count on, I think, for years to come. And not only does close things out, I mean, he's a guy that has proven this year already that he can be a guy you can look to and say, okay, hey, we don't know what else to do. We need to give you the ball, and we need you to make something happen. It happened in the series, the game against the Portland and in the bubble. It was the same thing. They said, hey, look, we need you to do something, and he went and did it. Same thing with Portland. You know, that's what teams do with superstars. That's what happens. You look to them and say, hey, we need you to do something because we have nothing else to do. Like, we need you to make something happen when there's 3 minutes left in the game. And I think that's something he can do for sure.
And you saw the youth still in him in that Portland game. You know, there were some, you know, there were a few plays at the end of the game where, you know, Jaw, I'm not saying that he was trying to make the spectacular play, but he was trying to put it on him to make the play. And maybe, instead of he went too fast, instead of slowing down, it led to some turnovers, led to less opportunities, which, you know, could have, you know, contributed to costing the Grizzlies of the game. But that's fine. You see Russell Westbrook, a guy who's been in the league 10 years, who did the same thing in the series against the Thunder. But I will ask this question for you before we take our next break. You had mentioned, especially in that Portland, Locked On Portland, Locked On Memphis crossover episode before the play-in game in the bubble, you had mentioned Ja needs to have his big 35 to 40 point game. That game, the last game of the season, was that the best that you saw Morant? Do you recall, was that it, or was there another moment where you felt this was the best that we've seen Morant in his rookie season?
No, I think that was it, honestly. I mean, you look at all the players that weren't around him that he needed to be around him in terms of, like, quality of talent on the team, and it just wasn't much there. I mean, it's just really what it was. They needed Ja Morant to be a superstar, and that's what he was. I mean, he was amazing that game. I mean, it was probably one of the better games I've – you know, I don't remember a game that this year that you know, he was that good in. I'm sure there probably was, you know, recency bias and all. But I think that was the most impressive game that I saw him playing because he literally put a team on his back and almost got it done.
Agreed completely. And it was amazing to see, especially going against someone who was as hot as Damian Lillard. Ja was on center stage. It was the only game there, and he took center stage. And the reaction that you saw from players around the league and those involved with the NBA, you started to see just how much of an impact Ja Morant can have as his game improves. We're going to take our final break and be right back with Mark to wrap up this episode of Locked On Grizzlies. With businesses open back up, school in session, and a lot of things going on, you're probably on the go more than you have been this year. And so it's become harder to add health to your daily routine. Well, a solution that I might be able to offer is called Built Bar. It's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Typically, you have to sacrifice one for the other. But with Built Bar, you legitimately get a good-tasting snack that adds health benefit to your daily routine. It also is very versatile. You can have it in the morning, before or after a workout, or in the afternoon, or while listening to your favorite Locked On Podcast Network show. The thing about Built Bar is that it also offers a wide assortment of flavors. You can go to BuiltBar.com and choose your favorite flavor. Myself, I love peanut butter. Also, if you go to BuiltBar.com right now, you put in the promo code Locked On, you'll get $10 off your next order. But the great thing I can tell you is this. I can tell you it won't be your last. Once you've tried Built Bar, I feel strongly that you'll add it to your daily routine. Again, if you go to BuiltBar.com right now, put in the promo code Locked On, you'll get $10 off your next order from Built Bar. So, Mark, the thing that I will ask is this, is that we've talked about Ja Morant, how awesome it is that he, you know, had a great rookie season, rookie of the year, spectacular within itself. My last question to you, though, in regards to the future, we've been through the grit and grind era. Me and you have talked before. We've been to a Western Conference Finals. We felt that the Grizzlies could make the finals if they would have beaten the Warriors in the 14-15 season. But with Ja Morant first, do you feel with Morant in the fold that this core has higher potential than the grit and grind era? And what about Ja Morant specifically makes you confident in that feeling that they could have, that they could be more of a legitimate title contender than any of the grit and grind teams?
I mean, you know, I think that Ja Morant and the people around him and Jaren have a higher ceiling just because I think they're better players. Like, I mean, I love Z-Bo. He's one of my favorite players of all time. I love Mike Conley. But, like, I think Ja Morant's better than Mike Conley. Like, I just think he is. I think he's better than Mike Conley was back then. I think he's better than Mike Conley now. I think Jaren Jackson Jr. is better than Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol. And, like, that's just, like, I think, you know, like, this is the league that it comes down to talent. Like, do you have the best players on the court, you know? And so, yeah, I think they have more potential to do that in terms of talent and based of what you have on the team. But as we know, as we've been through those years, it takes more than just those guys. You got to have a competent roster, a competent roster of role players. You got to have guys on the roster that are just good enough to get you by when Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. and Brandon Clark are not on the court. And so I think that is sometimes what matters more than having the superstars, as we've seen with other, you know, other teams in this league that have superstars that, you know, like LeBron James. LeBron James has been on, you know, has been the best player on his team every time he's been on a team. But sometimes it doesn't always work for him because, you know, he just doesn't have enough people around him. And that's really what it boils down to in this league is you got to have enough competent role players just to get you by. And I think that's the next step for this team is, what can they do to build that out? And we've seen a little bit, you know, maybe that's De'Anthony Melton. Maybe that's Grayson Allen. Maybe that's some of these guys we've seen this year around them. You know, we don't know yet. I don't know. I think the jury's still out on those guys. I think they're good players. But I think you've got to, you know, continue to see it, you know, time and time again. I think they also need, you know, they need one more player on the starting lineup that can create shots. If not Dylan Brooks, if Dylan Brooks are starting two guard, and you think that's going to get you to the playoffs and beyond, it's not. And I think they know that. And so you got to have someone on the wing that can create shots other than Ja and Jaren. And I think that is the next step for this team. What can they do there? How can they, you know, because if you have someone like that, plus Grayson and De'Anthony and some of those guys as role players and Brandon, you know, I think that's a pretty solid team. So, you know, I think they have enough talent to potentially be better than those old teams of the Grizzlies. But, you know, they've got to build out a complete team. It's not just going to work with Ja and Jaren.
His name is Mark King. You are familiar with his voice. We certainly miss it, but he is always welcome back, and we will have him back shortly. Mark, you got anything going on in your world? Where can folks follow you? And anything big coming up for you in the fall and winter to end out 2020?
You know, I'm just busy with our video business. We have lots of sports happening now in high school sports that I produce, and so it's a busy time for us. But I still talk Grizzlies. I'm over on Twitter @King_producer. You can follow me there, and we'll chat soon.
Gotcha. We're both on the hunt for that one voter who kept Ja from being unanimous. So if you have any information,
yeah,
let us know.
By the way, I need someone to bring me that name so I can really roast him on Twitter. That's the call of all of our subscribers. Bring me the name. I need it.
His name is Mark King. Mark, thanks so much for joining us. Hold on with us just a second after the call. Folks, thank you so much for listening. You can find myself and the show on Twitter @StatsSAC, @LockedOnGrizz, the podcast anywhere where podcasts are available. Thank you so much for listening to us. We'll talk to you soon again here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.